Our scripture for this morning comes from Micah. Micah 4, 2 to 4. And many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine tree, under their own vine, excuse me, and under their own fig tree. And no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. And Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let your worries fear themselves. You can see things as from space. Nothing is so real as the now. Let your heart beat slow. Listen to the snow. Fields are never fallow, you know. Leaves come tender and green, and go brittle and brown. Oh, the wind may blow, driving God who knows. The new shakes trees, and ripe nuts fall near roots. The storm will pass and nourish green shoots. Oh, whoa, whoa. Let your worries hear themselves. You can see things as from space. Nothing is so real as the now. Oh, fly those winds. Let them lift you above the noise. Pass through dark night, its eerie poise. Go ahead and howl at the moon. Bring your deepest night into the glorious light. The sun's rising will chase away the gloom. The smiling sun slowly waves the sight. Oh, 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 let your worries know themselves. You can see things as from space. Nothing is so real as the now. Hear the silence, feel the stillness. Peace comes in the dawn of the new. Clear your head, get out of bed, go and play like a child of the wilderness. Fear not, we are with you, you are enough, you are whole when you are empty.
Susan invited me to bring some reflections today around our current theme of deep roots. And those resources that can keep us grounded in our faith and our best selves, both strong and supple, even during this election season. I generally prefer to let songs speak for me, and I will include a few. I will also suggest some of the ways we might be rooted in rich soil, where we can find quite a few things to hang on to for strength, sustenance, and sanity in times that feel destabilizing and exhausting. We are rooted in Scripture, although I admit that I don't read the Bible as much as I used to. As I was considering what text to use today, these verses from Micah quickly came to mind. They seem deeply rooted here at CMCL, and I quite like them. I was curious what other nuggets might be found in Micah, so I began reading at the beginning and read to the end of the book. It's not a very long book, fortunately. I tend to be critical of memes that seem to be a proof text, a Bible verse that's cherry-picked out of context because on its own, it seems to support that argument for what God's word really means. It was in reading through Micah, especially right around those two excerpts that I chose, when I realized that I too proof text. We at CMCL are fortunate to be rooted in the Anabaptist Peace Church heritage. Growing up in the Mennonite church, I often heard about beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And I refer you to the image on the front of the bulletin, which I think is Jesus, the blacksmith. Here it is. And I've often sung, "Ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more." And I do like the mental image of everyone studying instead how to walk the paths of a loving God up on that mountain. Yet, as I read the rest of Micah, what I found all around these four verses is rather a lot of doomsday warnings for the Israelites because of their sins, prophecy that Jerusalem will rise from the ashes of its destruction to lay waste on other godless peoples. And isn't that poignant with current events in the Middle East? And a prediction of a future shepherd ruler from Bethlehem, peacemaker of the world, apparently achieved by destroying the military-industrial complex and religious underworld markets. It's a fascinating read, but not really what I came to Micah looking for. In all the dire predictions for those who do iniquity, so often the terrible judgments and punishments are carried out by God. So when Micah says, "Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid," that sounds more like a God I want to believe in. Am I proof texting? In Micah 6, I catch a glimpse of something that must have sounded prophetic or countercultural in a time when the way to gain favor with gods was to offer sacrifices of your most precious possessions. Chapter 6, verse 6, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? With 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And then this verse, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." These three verses seem so strident amid all the condemnation before and after them. The writer seems to shift suddenly to make a point that ritual sacrifice is unnecessary, even ridiculous. And then he adds the one verse that I think many of us happily proof text as words to live by, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. We are rooted in a commitment to encourage our culture, attitudes, and behaviors to change so that we as society can adapt to the needs and the changes in the world around us. In 2012, I graduated from the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, affectionately known by those of us who were there as CJP, at Eastern Mennonite University, where I studied trauma and resilience, restorative justice, and conflict transformation. And I think I was the one who was transformed. I returned to Lancaster with a new conviction to engage in this community, in interpersonal relationships, to bring my new global awareness to the local level, to make music, to make a difference in small ways that might ripple outward, to plant seeds in this soil and nurture growing things in this garden. We are rooted in dignity. As Gloria Rhodes shared with us at church retreat, dignity is one's sense of self-worth. As a community with our roots enmeshed like trees in a forest, as Susan shared last week, we can support each other's dignity. In a December 2020 On Being podcast, Brian Stevenson said, "I think sometimes when you're trying to do justice work, when you're trying to make a difference, when you're trying to change the world, the thing you need to do is to get close enough to people who are falling down. Get close enough to people who are suffering, close enough to people who are in pain, who've been discarded and disfavored, to get close enough to wrap your arms around them and affirm their humanity and their dignity. And when you do that, they will teach you something about what you need to learn about human dignity, and also what you can do to be a change agent." We are rooted in imagination. CMCL is full of artists. I refer you to the decorations along the window, this lovely banner behind me, rooted in peace. There's the hands artwork in the back. There's the whole parrot gallery downstairs. We are artists in a lot of ways. And I'm reminded of John Paul Lederach's book that I studied, Moral Imagination, in which he talks about the creativity required for transformative solutions to difficult problems. The arts inspire us to join in creation. Artists create art that helps us all imagine new ways of seeing the world and our role in it. In Haiti, there's a proverb, "Nous c'est wozo, nous plier, mais nous pas casser," which means we are wozo. We bend, but we do not break. Wozo is a reed that grows wild all over Haiti. Haitians say that wozo can be knocked over by wind or flood, and it will right itself. And it can be broken off, a new shoot will grow. It can be cut to the ground and burned, and it will grow back stronger than ever. Talk about roots. Those are some roots. In Haiti, the word wozo is almost synonymous with resilience because everyone knows wozo. And Haitians really are like wozo. I did my CJP practicum with the Trauma and Resilience Training Program in Haiti. I returned there 24 years after I had spent a year there when I was 20. And the Haitian trainers of the program called the whole program wozo. I accompanied them for a 5-day training in the town of Dame Marie at the southwest tip of the island. On the last day, one of the participants, his name was Jimmy Saint Louis, he asked us to call him Amazulu. I don't know what that means. He read a poem that he had written about his experience of those 5 days in training. And he invited me to set it to music. Mm-hmm. was debating whether I have time. I think I will have time to read, to sing it in both Creole and English.
Devant le soleil, nous tous réunis, au vent la pluie tornade saccagée. Eyes of the sun, we all unite. Great wind and rain, tornadoes may ransack us, but we are wolves. Derrière de la journée, yon poème, résilience campé bien bandade. Na quatre façades la vie, oui, c'est nous. Day, a poem, resilience stands out proud. In the four facets of life, it is we are wolves. We will never break. Marvel, the tongue of this poem has no bones. I walk in the daytime, I walk at night, but just outside my door, heaven's shadow looms. God asking why. La vie c'est un voyage qui pague en bout. Chaque jour la danse est une histoire. Chaque créatif la danse est une merveille. Parole sa palé na pelan. M'paganzo. Moi marche la journée. Moi marche la nuit. Mais devant porte caille moi. Ciel la babie l'envoie. Bon, je m'en ai pour qui. Pas un mot, pas un parole, mais c'est de j'ai moi cap gardé. Dit au revoir, mais pas oublié, nous c'est oiseaux. There are no words, no eloquence, just my two eyes that are watching. This poem bids farewell, but never forget that we are wolves. Don't ever forget, we are wolves.
The day before Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed in Memphis He gave a speech about labor rights, racial justice, and nonviolence. He was sensing the threat on his life, but he stood there in dignity and with a strong voice said, "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't really matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will." And he's allowed me to go up to that mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I can hear his voice. His words give me the chills. Still, every time. And that kind of dignity and sense of purpose are hard to find. He's talking about a promised land of heaven here on earth. As someone who learned in recent years that one of my third great-grandfathers enslaved other people in Virginia, I'm all in with MLK's dream.
Cannot anyone see it? Who has walked all morning through any wild place, breathed air freshened by the leaves, laced with magical scents, watched the rich combinations of colors and shapes dancing in the light of the sun, who has listened to the songs of birds, the wind in the trees, the buzz of the bees, or the orchestra of crickets, or of bullfrogs, the gurgle of the babbling brook, been dazzled by the vastness of the universe, as the moon and comets play across the star-strewn sky. Marveled at the infinite finiteness, too small to see and too great to grasp. Cannot anyone sense it upon returning to the small world of humanity, so enraptured with itself that it believes itself to be separable from all the rest. Exalted above all others, dominant. Cannot anyone know it, that what we most need is to remember that we belong in among to all, that we are only a part in our minds, and even the word apart is a part together, and what we long to escape is this prison of separation that we have imagined for ourselves. Cannot we all also imagine ourselves free? imagine all of us free.
At CMCL, we are deeply rooted in singing. There's something about musicking together that provides a visceral sense of connection and belonging. Now, we're going to blur the lines a little bit between sermon time and song of response. So with this hymn, I invite you to and this is number 42, Could It Be That God Is Singing? Invite you to take in the words as you sing. And I guess I will read them through really quickly, because there are some turns of phrases in this that are really surprising, let's say. So, could it be that God is singing? And these notes are my reply to the God light warm within me, joining earth and sea and sky. Surely mercy has a cadence. I can feel it in my soul. Surely justice builds a chorus, making all God's children whole. Verse 2, have you carried heavy silence? Have you let old sorrows win? Or proclaimed psalms of forgiveness, but not offered them within? Oh, the Spirit, she was singing, even when we could not hear, her abundant streams of living, waiting for us to come near. Hallelujah for my Jesus, for his life's surprising course. May I too live bold resistance to injustice, hate, and force. Surely peace, it has a cadence, asking all of what we bring. And if music is God breathing, take a holy breath and sing. So I invite you to stand if you're willing and able, and we'll sing this song together.
Okay. Could it be that God is singing and his notes are my reply to the God light warm within me, joining earth and sea and sky? Surely life's surprising course. May I too